Greetings, flesh wound and trauma freaks, and welcome to Flesh Wound Horror. I'm Flesh Wound Dan, joined by the ultimate tromaniac himself, producer Todd.
Happy New Year's Eve.
Happy New Year's Eve. I think 2024 is going to be a wondrous year with no drama whatsoever. Also joined by Pug Strid.
Namaste.
There you go. New Year's resolutions? Does anybody have them?
Armageddon.
Less.
Armageddon.
Pugs rooting for the end of supernatural Armageddon or just man-made Armageddon?
More than likely man-made, but I'll take whatever comes first.
Lesbian vampire planet. Armageddon.
I can't get anything done.
Todd,
I like the moniker of Tromaniac, though. That's pretty cool. Good call.
Yeah, I get all those patches I want. Jesus.
I almost bullied Todd into spending how much money for that cardboard cutout? Toxic.
Dan, you couldn't bully me on your
I almost did, Chad.
You did Maggie not even move the needle.
You got your bid up to what for that? You were what, like 400?
No, I tapped out of like 2.
Okay.
To the point I was like, nope. And you know, if it had that very rare mop attachment, you never know.
It's still, I don't think you would be bullied into getting it though.
Oh no. If Dan thinks he had any influence on my bidding, he is insane.
I had a few of those, a handful of those at one point, and just cats, dogs. And it was at the point where it's like, why keep collecting these if I'm shoving them in a closet so they don't get clawed up or pissed on? So
you can say you have it because you like to do that.
I know, but like 90% of
it. Oh, no, I display, though. If it's something that I shove in a closet, I will get rid of it. I do display my
sexuality. Nice.
Anyway.
Happy New Year, Dan.
But that works, too. They both have closet.
So, yes. So, lots of great things coming from Flesh Wound in 2024. So, stay tuned.
And what's the most important thing of 2024? The only thing that matters in 2024.
The Tromeversity. Tromeversary. There we go.
There you go.
Third time's the charm. Tromeversary.
I know. Hopefully you get Trome Masterpiece good when you say this one. So
There you go.
These are definitely two Trome Masterpieces. So. Sorry.
Yes.
Are they, though? Are they?
Uh-oh.
Oh, we're going to have a fight tonight.
We'll see.
I think we're going to have a fight tonight.
Dan's going to bully you into liking me.
Yeah.
First, these
just like
films,
the jocks.
Then Return of the Living Dead.
Don't shoot.
We're going to make it happen. We're going to shove
Return
you
Living
in
Dead. Why
lot.
Are you bringing down the New Year sucks already?
All right. Well, on that positive note.
Hey, pause, though. The ending of that film seems like it's the perfect ending for you, though.
Bring it to life, yeah. Yeah, the ending's the only good part.
All right. So getting into our films of the evening, we're going to kick it off with the 1976 film from director Joel M. Reed, Bloodsucking Freaks. So Bloodsucking Freaks, if you're not familiar, Sardou, with a little help of his dwarf servant Ralphus, operates New York's most controversial theater, Sardou's Theater of the Macabre, where each performance is an expertly staged display of gruesome acts of torture. Divisive as his take on entertainment might be, the arrogant theater critic Creasy Silo is having none of it and makes it his mission to put an end to Sardou's grisly dramas. However, what audiences and critics alike do not realize is that each of these shocking shows is completely real, with innocent nude women being maimed and murdered live on stage. When Sardou sets his eyes on beautiful ballerina Natasha, He's immediately smitten and determined she must star in his next production, whether she wants to or not, and that her stage partner will be none other than Creasy Silo himself. All right, so Bloodsucking Freaks, which we are covering the brand new Vinegar Syndrome 4K, as I put it back together and show you right here.
With music almost as famous as Pornhub.
This is true.
Is that the reversible case when I forget?
Yes. Does that mean you want me to reverse it?
At least open it up and show. You don't necessarily need to reverse it.
There you go.
All right.
I'm checking, Tad. I got to check for titties. I don't remember. But yeah, it's the open case there.
That's what blurs are for, Dan.
And I know, Todd. I'm trying to save you some blurring.
We're not live, pal. Thank
you, Tad. I understand.
What are you talking about? We are spending our New Year's Eve with the Flesh Roots feeds. And yes. We're just not answering in the chat. That's all that's happening.
Definitely not at a titty club. Definitely not at a titty club. So, all right. So a little bit of background on this one. So it started its life under the working title Sardu, Master of the Screaming Virgins. And it initially had its theatrical run as The Incredible Torture Show. But of course, Troma, once they got a hold of it, renamed it Bloodsucking Freaks, and it took off from there. So this one, the story behind this is just about as crazy as the movie itself, which we'll get into. Joel Reed initially was trying to get a movie made called Teen Demon, which was kind of a period piece comedy. But he got wind of this sort of fetish ballet that inspired him to write this in a week. He was also inspired by the Ilsa films, which had just come out. These movies are kind of best described. I think Eli Roth described it along the lines of a nastier, kinkier, meaner version of H.G. Lewis and his films.
Didn't he do that commentary where he just started making shit up?
Eli Roth did do that commentary before he blew up. He got paid, I think, $50 by Lloyd, which actually sounds a little high.
I was going to say, I think he's probably upping his rate.
Yeah.
Charlie calling him up like, all right, I'll give you 20.
I feel like that $50 included like some expired McDonald's Happy Meal coupons.
Back when they had those dollar McDonald's money, whatever it was called.
It's New York, kid. Just go suck some dick.
It's next year, you know it. McDonald's probably paid him off for cutting into the Troma building with some McDonald's butt.
So, you know, I love this era of NYC, just sleazy, nasty horror. And this is among the sleaziest. A little bit of background on just some of the cast. Of course, Ralphus, Louis de Jesus, they picked him up from Ringling Brothers Circus. Joel M. Reed claims initially that Hervé Villechaize, of Fantasy Island fame, was going to play Tattoo, was going to be Ralphus, but he had, if I recall as the story went, he just disappeared and decided to go back to France, and when they got a hold of him, he just said it was easier for a person of smaller stature to get laid in France, so
is that right?
I guess so. You know, I don't think he was Tattoo yet. Was Fantasy Island on
76 now? No.
Okay. So
he had his priorities right, though. Right on.
He didn't have to go to France once he got that Fantasy Island fame. That's for sure. So we ended up getting Louis de Jesus, who went on to do some triple X work. The Anal Dwarf, of course, a Disney classic.
That I did not know.
Yes, yes.
Is he pounding Snow White, or is he getting his mind dug up?
And Dan, how was it? Did you, I'm assuming you have it.
Of course, copy. Do, Todd. Amazing, amazing. Well, unfortunately, not signed. This movie had a lot of issues with its cast. Seamus O'Brien, who was a Broadway actor, very good. He plays Sardou. If you watch the movie, the acting's actually quite stellar in this. They don't get the credit they deserve. He was murdered by the rumors are a male prostitute that just robbed him, and it went wrong, and he ended up dying in his apartment. There is Viju Krem, who died in a very suspicious hunting accident where
Dick Cheney?
Not Dick Cheney that we know of. You would, she would have just disappeared. No, it was her husband. So Viju Krem also, she died a little bit later, and Luis de Jesus died in 1988. So this movie was definitely struck with a lot of tragedy, unfortunately, behind it. And it was made up of a lot of adult film, not adult film, but fetish actors that they had actually gotten the location from. It was essentially a dungeon, and it wasn't even set decorated that much. A lot of the stuff you see in this film was just there, and it was a mixture of some of these basically BDSM people, and it's the stories behind this are wild. Apparently Oliver Stone visited the set at one
point. Al Pacino was lurking around there too, huh?
Pacino probably. I want to say Pacino was there. Yeah. He was one of
asking about the bandanas.
He was definitely one of the girls in the cage. I also should say Luis de Jesus was also in Gerard Damiano's Let My Puppets Come, the classic puppet adult film. It Pugs, if you have not seen that,
I have not. And I think I need to. So just hand jobs all around.
A lot of ruined puppets. Rounding out some of the cast, also very, wasn't in many movies at all, but Alfonso de Noble, who played the notorious pervert Mr. Alfonso in Alice, Sweet Alice, he also died. He died, and that's it's another crazy story surrounding this death. He died because he was a very large man, and apparently he got stuck in, I don't know if it was a manhole or something, like something very weird. He
my
got
greatest fear.
he got stuck, and then it made the local newspapers, and apparently he murked himself out of embarrassment, so... R.I.P. Alfonso Noble, who was also kind of a character himself. He used to dress as a priest and go around cemeteries, and he conned people out of money for prayers for dead relatives. So that gives you an idea of the
real class act.
Class act.
Hey, as long as he was really paying for him, they were getting what they paid for.
Apparently at the rap party, Viju,
either prayer works about the same amount. I mean, just be real. Sorry. Had to get my dig in. Go ahead, dude.
At the rap party, Viju showed up with a guy that she claimed was Rod Stewart, except it wasn't Rod Stewart. And just, I don't know if it was some guy banging her and claiming he was Rod Stewart.
It was Stuart Rod. He just had
to. I was thinking of Rod Sterling when he said that. Sterling.
Actually, that'd be a good Twilight Zone episode going around collecting shit from funerals.
Joel. In a fucking manhole. I can't do Rod Sterling, but Joe, this movie is, it's way too fucked up for Twilight Zone.
We don't have outer limits.
we can't have butt darts in Twilight Zone.
Do you have a butt dart, Dan? Because I think that's something you need.
They're just darts.
Just a dartboard, but like painted like an ass or shaped like an ass, and you paint it. That'd be fun.
I do not have that.
You may have it next Christmas.
There you go. Next Christmas. So the movie. All right. So this film is like a nonstop assault on the senses. There is something absolutely insane happening every frame of this film from beginning to end. There is all the perversion on display. I've kind of already tipped my hat that I love this, so I'm curious because I'm definitely going to have some defend it.
Hard. You actually wave that flag every chance you get, and I'm happy you do because that's cool that you love it that much.
Is this a first time viewing for you, Pugs?
No, we've talked about this before.
Okay, I don't remember. Why don't you like this, Pugs? Why don't you love
it? It's not this one. This one's great.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then.
You dumb
fuck. Like, I don't give a shit. Never mind.
And also,
You should have saved him.
You're right. Fuck. I fucked up. Yeah. Todd was tipping his head. I had to bring it back. Kayfabe, man.
Okay. So, all right. So, what did you think, Pugs?
I actually really like this movie. I do think it's wild. I had a friend that looks like Sardu. He was definitely not as cool as Sardu. Actually, he was kind of a weenie. So if you're watching this, good riddance. He moved. Wow. Yeah, if he was half as cool as Sardu, I'd be like, yeah, dude, let's go hang out in your dungeon with these white slaves. I'm in. And only the white ones, please. There was some I didn't really care for seeing. Ralphus is the shit.
I was going to say, don't you have a wrestler friend who is about the same height that you don't talk to either anymore?
He made that decision, but he tried to come crawling back. And if I see him, I'll say hi, but I don't give a shit. Ralphus is awesome. I always forget how much impact this movie has on Chris Jericho with the amount of the word idiot in this movie, yeah, which is awesome. Another thing I like about this movie is it inspired a song called Bloodsuck and Freak Show. It's just the name, but it's from Scum of the Earth, Riggs. Fuck yeah. That scene that involves the actual, I don't know, it's not any blood, but it's like brain sucking. That's fucking hard. I don't know how they don't sell canteens like that, because I know Dan would buy like five. this movie's fun. It's fucking nuts, and I think Black Swan stole a lot from it.
Black Swan and Bloodsucking Freaks. That's a hell of a double. Yeah,
it's a performance. This it's supposed to be a ballerina, ballet.
One day I'll finally watch Black Swan.
Oh, don't get your hopes up. This one's way better, but Black Swan is cool.
Yeah.
Very lightly. No, yeah.
No darts are thrown into Natalie Portman's ass. Not a single one.
At least on
This is also that movie where even Lloyd Kaufman thought it was a bit much. So that tells you something if you haven't seen it. It's very mean. Now, I would say, in my opinion, also hilarious. But it is very, very could not be made today. And I'm not talking about the gore or anything like that. Just the tone of it. Like, it could not be made today. It's
how have you not dressed as Ralphus for Halloween? You get a bag of popcorn, some overalls, a yellow shirt. Fro.
Because I'm not short. That's
make
the
it,
only
make problem. It like size. Make it a big bag of popcorn.
Dan, like it's 2024. You can height up the part.
These are facts.
Okay.
Anyway, you'd be much better off as the other Ralph. So, I'm just saying.
So Lloyd, I think Lloyd's always had a little bit of a love-hate relationship because they obviously were forced to cut this for an R rating. So he pulled a little bit of a trick, not the first guy to do it, where he sent out the uncut version under the R rating, and some dumbass mother took her kid to it as though the incredible, it's though Bloodsucking Freaks was somehow going to be family entertainment, and was upset. I believe he ended up having to pay a $10,000 fine, which, you know. That time
Lloyd especially. Hates this movie than 100%.
he absolutely
had to pay money.
I always liked the fact that even like Ralphus and Sardu were grossed out by the sadistic doctor pulling out the teeth, and all of that. Just
Velveteen Rubdown. He was smart. He's like, I'm not gonna get my shit bit. treat her head like a Capri Sun. Fuck it.
Damn. That was pretty fucked up. The making the girl hold the guillotine with their mouth before being decapitated. The everything just works really.
This sounds child friendly to me.
Yes, I'm sure that was very, very interesting. I'm wondering at what point the mom took her kid out of the movie.
Like, right before the credits rolled, that scumbag. Hold on, honey. I want to see how this ends.
I wonder if the uncut version includes the oral scene that was cut on the old trauma versions.
No, that for a long time just was lost. I understand that, but I don't know
what at what point it was lost. It could have been lost post theatrical run.
This is true. This is true. This is, we could say it's an LGBTQ horror film. Because, you know, Ralphus and Sardu did have a relationship. So.
Or we could just call it a horror film and leave it at that.
2024, man.
Yeah.
It's a classic gay horror film. That's all I was saying.
Holes are holes. They appreciate it.
Yes, 2024.
They are more progressive than we are today.
All holes matter.
They were. And sometimes you have to make new holes.
One big one.
So this movie is just absolutely wild. I still can't believe how well it holds up. It very, like I said, it's much better acted than your typical H.G. Lewis film, and I am an H.G. Lewis guy.
He was a stage guy, so he was bringing out his inner Vincent Price, because I could easily see Vincent Price doing that role.
they would have to pull a Jess Franco on Christopher Lee trick, though, for that to work. Like, just, you know, you cut away, Vincent Price is just reacting to something, and then it's like, there's the lesbian getting her clitoris removed or something. Like, yeah, just cut the evil laugh.
You know that now that Dan just did that at 2024, that's going to be some fun, you know, footage.
Awesome.
Can you imagine, like, Vincent Price, like, it's like, all right, you're going to be just doing darts in this scene, Vincent. And then he's like, just that obvious cut to just a dart going into a chick's ass cheek. I want that now. Hey, look, AI, we can get the Vincent Price Bloodsucking Freaks remake.
It's, we can make that they have happen. The same hairline.
We can make that happen. We, Dan.
We.
Fuck yes, we. I will direct AI Vincent Price.
I don't think that's, you know how the AI works, Dan.
Same personality, though. You have to lie to it, like, to convince it to sign on. You have to lie to it. Vincent Price, and why is my brain
going to a totally dark place, because Vincent Price got me to Thriller, and then Michael Jackson with his documentary about non-darts, but buttholes are still involved.
You imagine Vincent Price is like, why is this little person going for my fly? Don't worry about it, Vincent. It's all good. It's all good. Just act happy. But anyway.
I'm all for. Dan's gonna get mad at this word. I'm all for a remake, but I want it Troma in house and Lloyd in the lead.
Fuck yeah! Cosign.
I would not mind that at all.
Okay.
It
would be a different tone. But
can we get Chris Jericho on a green screen so he can be Ralphus?
Oh, you know, he's
like Wonka.
I was just going to say, they got to Wonka him.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
I think Jericho could play the doctor.
Yeah, but I want him in as Ralphus because he's the whole reason why I like Ralphus to begin with.
So, Todd, I would say, now granted, it's not in-house, so we have to make that distinction. But best trauma movie ever.
Second best trauma pickup ever.
What's number one best pickup?
For me?
Well, pickup.
For me? Come on. I sucked it off last week. Suck it off on our first episode. I'd speak it, but it's unspeakable.
That's number one.
He said this multiple times, dude. I'm no selling this because I'm aware.
I thought pickups you were going Spinel.
That's a weird one because they didn't pick it up till DVD. It was already like I don't associate it with Troma, even though it is.
I get it.
Okay, sorry. All you're gonna do is knock down
third best.
You're gonna remind me other ones I really, really like.
But what is your top take?
Three Troma pickup. Is that better?
There you go. What is your take on Bloodsucking Freaks? What did you think when you first saw it? Because obviously you're picking it up. You're obviously expecting something a little more intense, but the deviance in this film is pretty strong.
I thought it was going to be like a different version of Freaks to begin with.
Mm.
I didn't really have expectations other than it had a Troma logo. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into. I just knew I was going to get into something. First time I saw it, I don't think I connected to it as much because a lot of it went over my head. So, I mean, I liked it. I remember the first time I saw it, but it wasn't until I think probably by the time the DVD came out and I really just, you know, when the DVD first came out, and that's really when I was like, okay, this is, you know, one of their best. Well, at that point, I was like, this is one of their better pickups. So, and now, but like I said, it'd be top three of my favorite Troma pickups. Don't ask me to rate it with the other Troma films, Dan, because then you're going to get lower and lower and lower.
At some point, you got to just do a Troma ranking, not just in-house, just anything that they've put out. You got to make that happen at some point. And I know that makes it a lot more difficult, but I would be willing to do that with you. Not a review. I mean, we've reviewed a lot of this stuff.
I have to watch them all. So why wouldn't I review them?
Well, sure. But I'm just saying the top 10. Top 10. That would be
a top 10 right now. No,
I could just pull up Lloyd's fucking. Yeah. 10 Lloyd directed films.
That's
Dan. I'm sorry. Any movie that's in the Troma catalog,
I'm gonna guess Todd, Terraformer,
Firmer.
Sorry, Unspeakable, Toxic Avenger.
Really? That's what you think?
No, Toxic Avengers won for you.
Is it okay? But you put over Fuck, I can't.
Here's the thing. I say Terraformer or Citizen Toxic are Troma's best movies. My favorite Troma movie because it is what. I really influenced my cinematic taste for life and changed my brain structure the first time I saw it. Okay. So it's always going to be Toxic Avenger.
Maybe it's good you didn't see Bloodsucking Freaks before Toxic Avenger.
That's very true.
Citizen Toxie, number for me.
Oh, yeah. See, and I'm never going to argue with that because that, like, I'll go back and forth between that and Terra Firma as like the best Troma movie. But my favorite is different. So,
okay.
I still say Poultrygeist is in the discussion.
Oh, it is. It's any of the Lloyd. I really love Shakespeare's Shitstorm too.
Hopefully, more people get to see Shakespeare Shitstorm soon.
Until then, I'm gonna watch it, and be like, ha-ha. I'll pull it dead. I got it.
But this is just. Filmmaking that does not exist anymore. And I gotta say, if you look at the extras, we're not gonna run down all the extras or anything, but if you look at some of the Joel Reed stuff, I love Joel Reed. I've met Joel Reed. I've literally been in line at a convention where Joel Reed, I come up to him and he just like taps me on the shoulder, like, look at the ass on her. Like, the dude was like a legit. Like, the first time I met him, I remember, I don't know if it was Chiller or where it would have been at that point, but he's like, man, look at the ass on her. Like, oh, hi.
One of us.
You look at him on the extra features. That dude is a hilarious perv. Some of his stories are hilarious, my dog. And
apparently, I don't know why he didn't name, you know, why has he got barf or whatever.
I tried to name a dog Ralphus. I tried to name a dog Ralphus when I was a kid, and it was denied. It was like, wait, what's that from? And then I think because it was before.
It's a Ninja Turtle. Just say that.
They know I didn't watch that though, even as a kid.
Well, you're doing it wrong, Dan.
What did you tell them when you were watching when you tried to sneak your porn?
Well, this was pretty early, but anyways.
Didn't answer my question though.
That was
yeah, that this was is my cat, early. Ron Jeremy. This is my frog, Peter North.
This is the hedgehog. I just call him hedgehog.
Why does Dan keep asking us for a damn hedgehog for his?
And also RIP Joel Reed, who did pass during lockdown. What a so funny. He claims that he banged Marilyn Monroe, which
while she was awake?
I would assume.
But, I wouldn't.
But yeah. RIP. Absolutely hilarious. So closing thoughts before we rate this one.
I'll say this: the new Vinegar Syndrome Blu-ray. Not that the last Blu-ray was bad, but this is definitely a step up. And yeah, great set. I will be keeping my Trauma Blu-ray too. Nice.
Just I get that on the movie. This is definitely worth seeking out, and now that's easily available, you should definitely check this out. I enjoy it. You'll enjoy
4K.
It.
Yeah. 4K. So I'm a 5. Just no shock.
Pugs?
I'll go with a 5. Yeah, because I'm between a 4.5 and a 5. But you know what? With the new upgrade, let's go 5 this time.
Yeah, I'm a 5 on this one. Like I said, it's Unspeakable is another one that connected with me at the right age and right time, or the wrong age and the wrong time, whatever you. However you want to put it.
Like me and can, the accused.
Can you imagine if Herve Villachez did play Ralphus? He's got nipple clamps on. De Bain.
I know Dan was saving that one. That was a good one, Dan. I'll give you props on it.
Barry Horowitz.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, that's happy Hanukkah, Barry.
Indeed. Maybe he's the AEW devil. You never know.
Yeah, and indeed was the wrong character.
I think that might have been revealed already, but who knows?
No.
No, I don't think so. Well, maybe.
It's 2024, right. Dan.
Well, about to be.
About to be.
And about, I don't know. Depends on your
revealed code. Yesterday.
Oh. There you go, Dan. Keep up.
Right. So, our next film, which I'll show this off first.
Pugs hate.
Lenticular.
Oh yes, it's a nice. Do it a little slower,
there
Dan.
You go. A little slower. I did.
What fucking haunted Golden Girls is this?
You're not rushing through, Dan.
Not rushing.
Act like
through.
It wasn't your first time. Slower. Come on, you gotta get your rhythm going, Dan.
Don't. Now I don't want to see it at all.
I know. We're done, Dan. Show us the actual cover.
You want the inside cover? You mean
yes.
Okay,
that's the actual cover. That's not the slip cover, is it?
Clarifying time.
There we have the that's the Trum art. I do like the shitty Trum art that's not included, but that's me. The one that doesn't even have it's just the daughter on the cover, we should say.
That yes, I get that. So before we get into it, I will say this was a very shitty Blu-ray before this. Very shitty. So this was one
Blu-ray.
it was like I remember popping that in and being angry.
Very, very angry. That sucks, but
I had a
now.
German DVD that looked much better.
that was what was ironic too, is just like my shitty copy that I had forever at that point was like better. Made no sense. So yeah, Rabid Grannies. Let's get right into it.
Go ahead. I was going to ask about the title, because why isn't it called Rabid Aunties?
We'll get into that, because yeah, this movie, it's a little bit strange, because you're right, they're not grannies.
They call them ants throughout the whole fucking movie. Anyway.
Yeah, and I don't, yeah, but we'll get into it. So this is from writer-director Emmanuel Curvin, who we'll talk about here in just a little bit. So Rabid Grannies is a 1988 film, and from the back cover, Elizabeth and Victoria Remington are two sweet elderly ladies who are looking forward to celebrating their shared birthday with their family at their enormous country mansion. Little do they realize that their obnoxious relatives, which include a freeloading playboy, an unscrupulous arms dealer, a brash condom manufacturer, and a terse lesbian magazine editor, are only interested in keeping their aunt's good graces in the hopes of inheriting their vast wealth. The festivities are not long underway when a strange and sinister woman appears at the gates to deliver an unexpected gift from an estranged member of the family. A mysterious engraved wooden box, which when opened, instantly transforms the two old dears into ravenous, flesh-hungry hags. The terrified partygoers scatter throughout the mansion as one by one they meet a fittingly gruesome end at the clawed hand of the ghoulish geriatrics. So Emmanuel Curvin is kind of a bit of a character. He actually had a brief flirtation with mainstream. He played Kurt Sloan in Kickboxer 2, which... No, there's Tom a whole Poe. Story. Yeah, no.
Is that a good one without Van Damme?
Oh, shut the fuck up, Todd. That's not even funny.
I don't want to co-sign with Dan. Don't make me.
That was the Albert Pune sequel, and Van Damme did not come back for that. Sasha Mitchell played David Sloan, and the director, Emmanuel, has a very small role in this. But
hold on, Todd. You don't like Kickboxer? Yeah. There's a Todd scene that is like high-fiving.
Maybe I need to rewatch it, but yeah, no. Okay. Bloodsport either. Didn't tell me that stupid fucking Todd, song, what too. We've had this discussion numerous times.
It's shocking every time.
We're revisiting the career of Jean-Claude Van Damme. We are revisiting his career.
Well, we need an exclusive Flesh Wound Fists.
Be sure to check that new
there
show.
You go.
Oh, yes, tomorrow. The debut of Flesh Wound Fists for our Die Hard review.
There you go.
Tomorrow.
If you're watching. Pugs, since this is a... Is this a first-time watch?
No. This is like the... third or fourth.
Okay.
Did you get to see that awesome Troma Blu-ray?
What did you think about this one? Obviously, you don't like it. I'm curious.
Again, I was kayfabing everybody. I do think this is the lesser of the two movies we're talking about today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And this one, for me, does suffer from some pacing issues. But once it gets going, it's fucking awesome. The gore gags in this are fucking phenomenal. The first thing we get is like a South Park Canadian, but like all monstery with a flapping head. That's cool as fuck. The main thing that bothers me is that it's called Rabid Grannies. So I was expecting them to be grandmothers. I know I shouldn't be harping on this, but it's an easy fucking fix. The cowardice priest, hilarious. The way it shot, like very old school horror, and like old Universal monster, like with the dark shadows and like the long hallways. I like that.
Yeah.
It feels closed in when they're locked in the rooms and stuff. But overall, this is a fucking blast. It feels longer than the actual runtime. It's only because I think it takes a while to start. And once you do get it going, there's like big, big pops, and then there's another lull, and then another big, big pop, and then a little lull, and then it goes into bonkers. I love when it goes bonkers. It's fucking gross. I don't think it's scary, but it's massively fucking entertaining. So I do like this a lot, Dan. I was just, again, trying to help the show.
That's okay.
Everything up front.
That's okay. That's understandable.
And this was not a Lloyd retitling where it was a simple Rabid Aunties doesn't sound as cool as Rabid Grannies, because the actual title translated is Cannibal Grannies. So
still no grannies.
But you know, it, being that it's a French word, I wonder if La Mimi's has multiple meanings, because Mimi's sounds more anti than fucking.
It does. And like Mexican sleepy. Go Mimi's.
So I don't know. Like, that's the thing. It's like French. Like, it
mutated Mimi's.
There you go.
It's a, well, yeah. And I mean, this is a of course, a Belgian film, but it's very weird because
they spoke French when they were doing it.
It was dubbed by British
people. Right.
So like a lot of it didn't sync up particularly well.
And before we get too far, I forgot the guy's name, but the fat, not the fat guy. Is the fat guy? Or the old guy. One of the guys going, listen, lesbian, or however he says it, gets me every fucking time.
Yeah. There are some points where it does make you laugh. I mean, this was a $150,000 budget movie. And the producer actually is also a director who did Lucker the Necrophagus from 1986. So, you know, he had a film out there. There were some really strange trauma edits on this movie. It was a troubled production, and it is kind of a very bizarre tone, because they kind of, the first 40, 45 minutes roughly, this feels like it's going to be something very different. It almost starts as sort of a Agatha Christie style.
Not to interrupt you, but I do find it funny while revisiting this. It's the same day I decided to watch Saltburn. I don't think Todd has seen it yet, so do not ruin it. Good double feature.
You know what? Yes, that is a good, it is a good double feature.
All right, well, you're moving that one up on my watch list.
Saltburn is not a horror movie, though. But yeah,
I know. I saw you mention that.
It starts off as like this sort of Agatha Christie meets Old Dark House kind of thing. And then it turns into like a wild Evil Dead 2 kind of knockoff. And it is a little bit slower, but not unbearably so. Like, I'm interested enough. There's a few, like you said, what the fuck sort of laughs to do with the dubbing. That works. And when the shit hits the fan, I do think this movie is quite entertaining. The makeup's great. I think the demons look fantastic. Again, lower budget movie from a country that's not particularly known for horror movies. And although there are certainly some great ones, but you know, this was kind of an unusual film at that time for the home country. And I still think when this one is, the highs outweigh the lows for me quite a bit. I tend to enjoy this more and more every time I watch it. It's not a classic.
Cosine, yeah.
Yeah, it's not a classic by any means whatsoever. But I don't know. There's a lot of charm here.
I can see this as somebody's favorite movie, especially if it's like the first thing they've seen, like that had anything like this. I can see that sticking with someone.
47th in my trauma rankings. I'm just making the numbers.
Careful, he's a denier. The numbers don't add up.
Well, you have to get through all of Lloyd's films first, didn't it?
Yeah. I do think this one holds up. I used to always double it up with Flesh-Eating Mothers, which is a B-movie that I absolutely adore. And this is another one, I believe, that also had some editing issues. And
there's a couple different sets.
Yeah, there's a couple different cuts, so it's a movie that, for sure, Vinegar Syndrome has put out the definitive edition at this point. So I would highly recommend the Blu-ray. If you've never watched this, this is the one to grab. Initially, the script was like 250 pages, which if you know movies, that's insane. So you can imagine that's like Killers of the Flower Moon kind of territory. And yeah, I mean, Belgian films being, you know, funded by the government, like a horror film at that time was very rare. And they kind of go over in, you know, how that all of that worked and getting it made in France and all of that. There have been plans to do a second one. There is a script out there. And
there's an IMDb page.
There is.
Really? Okay.
And hopefully we'll get it. Hopefully we'll get it. And I also wanted to put over, do not miss on this Blu-ray. Again, we're not running down all the extras, but Forgotten Scares. It's a 2016 documentary on Flemish horror. It's feature length. It's an hour, 39 minutes. If you're curious of some of the history of some of the great genre films to come out of that area, check it out. Because again, you don't think of this country when it comes to horror, but there's actually, even though not great in number, there's a hell of a tradition. So I highly recommend you watch that documentary. If you're a fan of 80s splatter flicks, I'd say this is a must see. Just, you know, be patient. It takes a little bit to get to the gooey effects, but when you get there, there's some great gore in this film, and it certainly goes above and beyond what the budget was. So what do you rate this one, guys? Rabbit Grannies, what do you say?
Todd, did you go enough? You're muted.
You're muted.
Yeah. Dan covered everything, that whatever I was going to throw in it, he covered.
Copy and paste right on.
Yeah. I'm a 4 today. That's where I'm at on this one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I am also a 4 out of 5. And I used to be a 3.5. So it is growing. Like Dan said, every time I watch it, this is like the third or fourth time. I can't remember which. I do find myself enjoying it more and more. So it won't be the last time I see it.
Yeah. I know there's some listeners of our show that saw this for the first time on the shitty Blu-ray and kind of had mixed feelings. The upgrade is more than enough that you might see this a little bit differently. Like I said, it's a flawed film in a lot of ways, but all things considered, I'd still give this a very enthusiastic 4 stars. I do love it. I think it's entertaining. It's not the masterpiece that Bloodsucking Freaks was, but nonetheless, together, I'd say this is probably one of our stronger trauma shows. We got two heavy hitters.
Yeah, and tonight, if we tricked you with that Vinegar Syndrome graphic to get here, it was worth it.
There you go.
Yeah, we're doing two graphics on the trauma shows just to get them. Because certain people... Orc,
who's probably not even listening to this right now, so I'll cut a promo on you, Orc. You need to get into
where you can't hear it, you puss.
Right.
You need to get into trauma. Somebody will tell him. You need to get into trauma because this is like a
50 Cent fucking teasing Mayweather.
And this.
Slow it down, fucker.
Well, I've shown it. There you go. Lenticular. There you go.
Two pump chop. He
has a new target. I'm enjoying that.
So yes, Orc. We will send you the non-trauma graphic. So with that being said, we're gonna have a lot more trauma coverage. Be sure to comment this video. Let us know what you think. Is there a trauma film that you would like us to cover as well? Which you can also get on our Patreon, which starts at just $1. You can enjoy exclusive, uncensored, early content.
We don't say uncensored anymore, Dan. I can't drop the N-bomb.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yes, that's kind of a good rule for life. But yes. So, yes.
Dan just you hear that, my fellow N-words? He said you can't say it.
I didn't say that, Pugs. God damn it. Patreon.com/ you can say rule. It, no talking during the plugs. patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. It all starts at just $1. You can, yes. So, yes, lots of spicy stuff. How about that? Including our Femme Fatales reviews, which we're doing right now. You can check those out amongst many other hangouts and cool shit in general. And also free, get on our Discord, which is very, very active. Like I said, there's some other podcast personalities in there, people you probably recognize from many, many chats throughout the YouTubes. And you'll never miss a physical media sale. You'll always be up to date on the latest fast food, because that's a big thing in our Discord. So it's a good place, and that's free. So join the Discord. It won't cost you anything. And you can also throw out suggestions for us. My voice is going to shit tonight because wild New Year's party. So I'm losing my voice.
Which it should be. I'm not going to try to fix you.
Absolutely. The ball is dropping right
it's,
as we.
It's the time difference. That's what's going on.
I was going to say it was because he was sucking off blood sucking freak so hard.
That too.
That is true. That is true. There you go. Comment the video. Let us know. Is there an obscure trauma movie that you like that you think we should consider covering in the future? And we'll definitely be open to that. So guys, on that note, how do we end this one? We send it out with a trauma thing, Todd. What line should we do to end this great episode?
Sergeant Kabuki Man.
I never cornholed me a blind chick. There you go.
Do your normal one, Dan. Say good evening.
Yeah.
All right. Good night.
Hey, Mr. Todd.
Good evening.
I'll see you in Disneyland. Happy New Year.